Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Welcome to Friends with Money. I'm Michelle Baltazar, Editor-in-Chief here at Money. It's been a while since I've been on the pod, so I'm excited to be here. And I hope that by the end of this episode, you would have taken away some golden nuggets to help you with your financial goals. Today, we're going to unpack a topic that begs more discussion. We want to find answers to the question, is there a right age, so to speak, to be thinking about life insurance? And how can you make the most of the life insurance you already have, but you didn't know you had? Joining us to provide his insights and debunk some of the common myths is Alex Homer, Chief Customer and Brand Officer at Insurance Group TAL. Alex, thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me, Michelle.
Now, Alex, I'd call myself an insurance tragic in that when people turn away when they hear someone say life insurance, I'm that person who leans in. And that's partly because through my work in finance media, I've had the opportunity to learn about it over an extended period of time. But for those who are unfamiliar with it, I reckon we should really start from the very beginning and define, what do we mean exactly by life insurance? And for those who are listening right now and saying, Michelle, tell us something new though, like what's the latest? I also want to introduce a new phrase or a new concept, and that is living insurance. So there is such a thing as life insurance, but also living insurance. Can you just unpack those two terms for us?
Absolutely. So I think the first thing to say is that life insurance is not just about death. And that is particularly important for younger people who may not have dependents and the need for the life insurance aspect. But almost everyone would have a need for what you just described as living insurance. And let me just unpack that a little bit. One of your biggest assets is your ability to earn an income. But if you're sick or if you're injured, what would you do? Could you afford your rent? Could you afford your bills? Could you afford your loan repayments, etc.? Do you have family? Do you have others you can lean on? You need to answer those questions and think about what type of protection would be appropriate for you. And there's different types of protection you can get within living insurance. So the first is probably a commonly understood one of income protection, which essentially replaces a good chunk of your income, usually up to 75%, although you can change that throughout your claim period. And you can have different benefit periods for that, ranging from a year, 2 years to 5 years, even some products ranging up to age 65, depending on your preferences. There's then critical illness cover. That's another living insurance. So that's a lump sum paid to you directly to support any recovery costs. So that may be after cancer, a heart attack, or a stroke are quite common causes for a critical illness cover claim. And then finally, total and permanent disability. So this is a lump sum that supports you with long-term rehabilitation if you're totally and permanently unable to work in the future. I'll just add to that, Michelle, a really interesting statistic is that 1 in 3 Australians are likely to have a claim event during their lifetime. And I think that's a really important thing to take note of if you're a younger person thinking about life insurance.
Just to recap, when you talk about living insurance, it's almost like a three-legged stool, isn't it? So you've got your income cover, and I think people understand that. But not a lot of people really think about injury, especially if you're thinking about, well, you're young, you're impregnable, you know, you're unstoppable. But in fact, there is the TPD, which you've pointed out, and also the
critical illness.
Yes. So a critical illness injury. See, I don't even know the terms, but it's important to just pause there and think, oh, okay. So these are the three considerations. And one of the things I really want to add is that when you talk about living insurance, people think, oh, you know, it's such a drag to be thinking about it. But if you flip your mindset and you think, wow, this is something that I can have as a just in case. So I can travel around the world, I can pursue the career that I want to, but I'll have this protection on the side. But there's also a statistic out there that something along the lines of almost half of Australians age 18 to 24 don't really know what insurance is or if they have insurance. And I want to pin it down to a discussion on superannuation fund insurance. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. But I'd just say what you talked about there in terms of how it can support you in living your life, that is absolutely what living insurance is about. And we see it as helping you to build a more resilient life. Because insurance gives you the confidence to help you make those big decisions in life. And that might be to buy a home. That might be to rent a better property. It might be to have a family. And so we really see insurance playing that vital role of being beside you. And we want to make that as easy as possible for you as well, so you can live the life that you want. Now, coming to insurance in super. So we see insurance in super as a really valuable part of Australia's safety net and the support for individual and community resilience in Australia. So it provides a default level of insurance, which is usually a combination of life protection, income protection, and total and permanent disability protection. And about just under 9 million Australians are protected by life insurance through their super. If you're a young person and you are over the age of 25 and you have an account balance of over $6,000 and you've had a superannuation contribution paid into your account, unless you have opted out of your insurance, you will have a standard level of default insurance. A recommendation I would make to everyone listening in here is to engage with their superannuation fund, go and check what cover you have, and make sure that's right for you as well, because superannuation funds are becoming really great at helping you work out what level of cover you need and working with you through that process. So you may need to go, in some cases, through an underwriting process if you want to upgrade that process, which would involve some health questions and other pieces, but I would recommend that everyone does that. Now, on the flip side, I'd say that if you are under the age of 25, you have an account balance under $6,000, you won't automatically have that level of cover. So again, even more important that you check that. And if you feel that you need that cover, engage with your fund and take it out. The benefits of insurance in super, particularly the default levels I just talked about, is pretty much automatic cover. There's no forms, there's no medicals. Generally, good value premiums. And that's because we're insuring so many Australians. And there's a real collective buying power from that because the risk is shared over such a large cohort of members. It's a really unique system, actually, that only exists to this scale in Australia versus the rest of the world. The premiums, of course, come from your superannuation fund account and contributions. You need to obviously be mindful of that if you upgrade the cover and make sure that those premiums are affordable and not diminishing your overall account balance. But those premiums won't come directly from your paycheck. So that can also help you, particularly as a younger person where younger people can often have a lot of other expenses, as another way to fund that insurance.
So for those who are listening, when we talk about premiums, this is effectively the fee that is taken out of your super fund to pay for that insurance cover. And as Alex rightly pointed out, this is still your money. So it does make sense to just call your super fund or maybe check out their app to look at what your insurance cover is and how much you're paying. I do that with my app and it's so straightforward. There is a tab on fees, and you can see what the insurance fees are being taken out every month. However, the premiums do differ. And how do they differ, Alex?
They do differ. And largely they differ based on the design of the cover. And the trustees who oversee the superannuation funds, they will look at who the members are of the superannuation funds, and they will tend to design cover that best fits those member cohorts. and their specific circumstances. So for example, you could have a big industry fund like CBUS that thinks about the dangerous nature of their members' occupation and therefore the levels of cover that they should have. And so the cost can vary really depending on the design of the cover, the occupations generally within there, and of course the age of each member. So generally the younger you are, the cheaper the cover will be, and that's because your probability of claiming is lower at those younger ages. But one thing I would say is typically for default insurance coverage in super, the cost coming out of your superannuation fund will be less than a coffee per week. So I think that's something to think about.
That is crazy. And again, I don't think people know that it is affordable, that you can get your insurance at a rate that doesn't take too much away from your weekly budget. I want to now move on to talking about the practical tips. So let's say you're under 25 or you're a parent, you're listening to this, you have a teenager who's just signed up to their first job, maybe at Macca's, or they're working at a retail store. Can you give a couple of practical tips on what they should do if they want to get insurance? Because I believe if you're under 25, it's simply because your super fund balance is still too low and you're getting charged the fees.
Absolutely. I'm happy to do that. So, I mean, I think the first thing to understand is, do you have a superannuation fund? Because not every young person will. If you do, go and check it out. Go and check if you've got cover or you haven't, and look at the options for you. That would be my first tip. If you don't have a superannuation fund, don't worry, there's lots of options for you. You can come directly to life insurers. We, for example, have our own direct life proposition. And actually, we're working with some new technology companies on how we can embed insurance into different ways that younger people engage. So it might be through providing options through their employer, either as the employer providing that benefit or the employees actually purchasing that cover themselves. I think it's particularly important to think about insurance if you're, for example, a contractor, a gig worker, as you mentioned. That is a very much a growing cohort of Australians who wouldn't have cover. Questions to ask yourself are, how long would I be able to survive if I were not able to earn an income because of sickness or injury? How much would I need to cover my different expenses? And then look at some different options for how you might want to take out that life insurance. If it's outside of a super, as I said, you can come direct. You can even have a look at comparison websites as well, and you can compare different policies and the value that they offer as well. So for example, compare the market. I select some of those big names that people will be familiar with. If you want to understand life insurance a bit more, there's also some really good tools on insurer websites, on TAL's own website. We have some real stories. We have some product info, of course, FAQs. And you can also go to a government-supported website called MoneySmart. And that also explains different types of cover and also provides a calculator there too, to help you work out what's the right level of cover to think about. Of course, if you are fortunate enough to have a financial advisor, I'd also recommend having a conversation with them, as most financial advisors are able to support you with determining the right level of cover for you and also helping you with taking that out.
I guess for a lot of young workers, they probably don't have a financial advisor yet, but we also endorse moneysmart.gov with like very easy, very basic information on insurance. But more to the point of our episode today, that it's about distinguishing between life and living insurance. Now for the bonus round, I know that there are like these little things that you don't know about super that you need to know, especially if you're like a gig worker or you're a content creator, because there's a lot of young people now earning income through social media. And that is to do with skipping superannuation payments. What does that mean?
Well, I could really only talk about that from a life insurance perspective. Each fund would have different rules. If you do not contribute after a certain period of time into your fund, your cover may reduce and you may move to what some superannuation funds would have, which is a more basic level of cover. And at some point, potentially if your balance reduces that much, you may lose the cover entirely. So I think it's important though to look at, and this is, you know, this is my number one tip in this conversation, go and check out what your cover is and what the different conditions are. It's worth 10 minutes of your time.
Well said. I know that one of my friends moved from being in a salaried role to running her own business. And there was like a 1 year gap between making sure that she's got super. So I did remind her, make sure that you don't void your insurance or affect your entitlements by making that superannuation payment within that period of time based on her super fund. I'm afraid that that's all we have time for today, Alex, but thank you once again for sharing your insights.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Until next, I'm Michelle Baltazar. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.